Log Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us. You are now connected to the Blog Talk Radio program for Breaking the Silence, and this is a segment from Hope Alliance, Inc., with yours truly, Pastor Katie Pierce, Apostle Designee Katie Pierce, and I do appreciate your joining us on tonight. Tonight we just kind of want to talk about some of the things that need to take place when you're free from domestic violence, because there are, if you will allow me to say, there are some residuals and some things that try to stick with you that will try to prohibit you from getting to that next place that you need to be in God, that next place you need to be in your purpose, that next place that you need to be in your destiny. And so we just want to make sure that as we are stepping out of a domestic violence relationship, there's nothing that has attached itself to it. For those of you who are maybe still lingering in that thing and you're really trying to break free from domestic violence, we just want to assist you and give you some insight, some hope, some hope that will help you to guide you to that next place that you need to be in God. And so as we look at our segment on today, we definitely want to look at the shame that goes along with domestic violence. Even after you've stepped out of a domestic violence relationship, or things are beginning to turn around and heal within the domestic violence relationship, and you're finding yourself having some if you will, delayed reactions for trust. You don't trust as easily. You're wondering when the next proverbial shoe is going to drop, and things of that nature. And so, we just want to talk about, you know, getting past the shame of domestic violence on tonight. And so, you know, the secret shame of domestic violence, when we find ourselves, or when we looked at, I actually was looking at an article today that was talking about a very, very prominent gospel artist who had to go to court today because of some things that was happening in his home. A man of God, a man who sings, and when he sings and ministers to the people of God, it moves us to a place. And here we see him in the forefront of the news, saying that he has been abusive to his wife. Now, so we understand that there are some shame and things that's going to go along with the perpetrator as well as the victor who is coming out of domestic violence. And so, you know, what do you do? How do you press past the shame of being labeled as an abuser? How do you press past the shame of being labeled as a person who took it? And why did you stay? And the questions that go along with that, you know, how do you press past that? And we're seeing time and time again, you know, I'm reminded of Ray Rice and his wife and how she sat by him in an interview for domestic violence and how she didn't say anything. And when they began to interview her, you know, he was doing all the talking and saying how everything had been resolved and how they were just trying to move on. And you know, you how do you press past that? You know, and so we've got to begin to understand that it's okay, that we can begin to get past the shame and the humiliation. And of course, again, let me just put an indemnity clause out there. This is Hope Alliance, and Hope Alliance is an acronym for healing opportunities proposed for everyone, and that we are biblically based. We reference the Bible to getting past some healing and some counseling that's needed for those of you or anyone who is going through domestic violence, and we use the Bible also as an foundation for those who are trying to press past and get past, you know, their anger issues, get past the rage, get past all of those things. We definitely use the Word of God. And so looking at some scriptures here, you know, we have to begin to understand that we can go from now. We can go from a place, wherever the place that you're finding yourself now, I need for you to understand that there is another place. The Word of God says that I know the plans that I have towards you, or I know the thoughts that I think towards you, and that there are thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring you to a perfected end. And so we just want you to understand that there is a perfected end that God has ordained for you, whichever side of the spectrum you're on. There is, hallelujah, a perfected end that God has for you. And so as we begin to look at some things, one of the things we definitely want to do as we're trying to break past the shame, as we're trying to live our life after domestic violence, you know, as we're trying to build the trust issues. If I could just give a short testimony, after I came out of domestic violence and thought that I wanted to get back into the dating scene, I was talking to a gentleman and he said something to me. And unbeknownst to me, it was a trigger. It was a trigger, and it just sent this flood of emotions that my mouth started moving, and I couldn't even close my mouth. It was just all of these things, you know, I had to think the way somebody wanted me to think for blah, 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 many years, and I promised myself that nobody was ever going to tell me how to think, what to do, when to stand, when to sit, and I just went off on this tangent, and when I got through, he was like, you know, you may not be past that, or you may not be over that, and it made me sit down and begin to sit and reflect that maybe there was still some residue, maybe there was still some residuals in me from going through domestic violence that I had yet to release. And so I want you to understand that there is a life past domestic violence. There is a life where that you can be clean. I was thinking about the scripture the other day. The Lord God said to purge me with hyssop and I might be clean. Hallelujah. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Amen. And, of course, that's being in Psalms 51. That's in the 51st division of Psalm. But for some reason, that purge me with hyssop. Purge me with hyssop talks about a purification that needs to take place. It talks about a washing or a cleansing, if you will. A purification as in cleansing. Because he turns around in the next verse or in the next sentence and said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. So there's a differential. There's a difference between the purge, getting purged with the hyssop, and then to be washed by God. And so we want God to begin to purge us. So when we talk about purging, again, that's a purification. That's a purification. And so in this, what I'm hearing from the Lord is that in the purification, that your thought process has begun to change. You know, when you're in a domestic violence situation, your thoughts, the thing that you begin to think about some things, is a place of fear. Amen. It's a place of, you know, feeling insecure. Some things that are happening may cause you to be insecure. So your thought process or your mind has to be purified. You know, God has to bring you out of a place of feeling your trust issues. All of these things have to be purified, and that's going to take place within your mindset. So renewing your mind, renewing your thoughts, you know, and beginning to think the thoughts that God would have you to think. You know what I'm saying? That you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, if you're a person that's going through domestic violence and you begin to believe the lies that were spoken to you, you begin to believe and belittle your own self and not feel that you're worthy. Come on, somebody. You're not worthy to not be going through physical abuse or emotional abuse, whatever type of abuse it was. You've got to now begin to purify. Allow God to take you to a purification process where he begins to renew your mind. The scripture talks about pulling down every thought and every imagination that would try to exalt itself against the will of God. There are some things that's been programmed in you, that's been brainwashed in you to believe negatively about yourself. So now you've got to go back and begin to change your thought process. Get in the Word of God and begin to say who God says that you are. If you're the perpetrator, if you're the person and you haven't been able to pull down, you weren't able to get past that rage, and now you're living with the guilt of trying to love your wife again, and the enemy keeps throwing those thoughts up to you, or he keeps trying to put that rage in you, you know, you're going to have to begin also to regenerate the mind, purify your mind, begin to get in the Word of God, and begin to know that love covers a multitude of faults, and begin to find out what agape love looks like. What does it look like in the scriptures, in the book of Ephesians, when it tells the husband to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? What is it talking about in the scripture? It says that what man would do harm to himself, then neither should you do harm to the wife that God has given unto you. But this is going to come through, again, the purification process. And the purification process needs to look like you getting in the Word and finding out whatever side of the spectrum you're on, you know, finding out what the Word of God says. Now, I would love to say that this process is going to be something that's going to be easy, because what's really happening is you're reprogramming your thoughts. You're reprogramming your mindset now not to think as you ought, but to think of the way that God has instructed for you to think. Amen. And so now to change that is going to take a daily pursuit. It's going to bring about a daily pursuit to get into the Word of God, and that every time the enemy tries to come to tell you that you're less than what the Word of God says that you are, then you're going to have to begin to spew out the Word of God. Fight it with the Word. Fight it with the unadulterated Word of God. One of the things that I'm looking at, it talks about, you know, the woman at the well, the woman who was caught in adultery, and how everybody began to try to tell her, you know, that that's who she was. Yes, she was caught in adultery. And Jesus comes along and he begins to ask her, you know, Jesus straightway and asked her, where did they go? Has anyone condemned you? And then the woman answered and said, no one, sir. And Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. Go now and sin no more. You know, it's a sin when you think of yourself less than what God made you to think of yourself. Come on, somebody. You're not doing God you're not giving him his true praise and his true glory when you walk around and you belittle who he made. Remember in the Garden of Eden, God looked at man. Everything that he made, he stepped back from it and he said, that's good. So you need to begin to understand that you too are good. There may be some things in you that happened that were not good, but you have the innate ability in you through the Holy Spirit to begin to walk in who God has called you to walk into. Amen. You have the innate ability, the same spirit again that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in your mortal body, and it dwells in your mortal body to begin to give you victory on the thing over some things that may need to be coupled with your getting some help. I am in no wise do I condemn going, you know, to a counselor. In no wise would I condemn your going perhaps to a group therapy session where you're coupling the Word of God, you're changing your mindset, and you're doing whatever it takes. Amen. You're doing whatever it takes in order for you to begin to be what God has called you to be, because you're trying to get past. You're getting past that thing. You're getting past the guilt, and you're getting past the shame. And so when we begin to look at that, or when we begin to think about another thing that needs to take place in addition to getting in the Word of God and beginning to change your mindset, beginning to allow God to purify your mindset, then he says, wash me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. So you need to begin to wash in the purification progress. Process, also begin to just wash yourself, begin to cleanse yourself. Now, I talk of that symbolically, you know, in talking about washing yourself, going through the process, getting in the Word of God, getting in a place of worship, getting that washing and a cleansing, where the glory of the Lord is, there's liberty, getting in the presence of the Lord so that you can begin to be washed with and by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that's what we want to do. We want to get purified. We want to get washed. That's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it by getting in the Word of God. How are we going to do it? We're going to begin to confess what the Word of God says we are. We're going to begin to confess who the Word of God says we are. We're going to begin to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. There was a place in me, you know, when coming out of domestic violence, where I found myself always looking over my shoulder and not trusting people. And, you know, certain sounds make me jump. Come on, somebody. And so I had to begin to go through the purification system, begin to quote the scripture that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You can't walk around in fear. You cannot be in a position where you're distrusting or, you know, you're questioning everybody's motives. Amen. I'm not saying don't wait a situation, but I'm saying that it shouldn't paralyze you or have you in a position where it's prohibiting you from getting to your next place or your next purpose in God. And so we want to begin to do that. We want to begin to walk in the knowledge of who God has made us. You know, when you're in a position of domestic violence and you've been around somebody who's told you what to do, how to do, it's kind of hard to break free. I'm reminded of the movie Shawshank Redemption. Anybody remember that movie? And whereas when he got out of prison and he went and he was working at a grocery store, and he had become so used to a certain surrounding. He had become so ingrained in the environment of prison that even when he was out of prison, he was still in prison. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. And so he was at the grocery store, and remember, and he was at the grocery store, and every time he got ready to use the washroom, he would ask them, could he go? And they was looking at him like, you know, you don't need to ask me. But because he had gotten so set into his environment, the environment and the culture that he had found himself in, he was finding it hard once he got out to get acclimated back into society. And so that's the shell shock of a person who's been in domestic violence, when you've been used to asking somebody, or when you've been apprehensive about just stepping out and doing something because of the fact that you've had to answer to somebody for so long and things of that nature. And so now unwinding that mindset and taking on a new mindset, you know, for the person that's the perpetrator. If you've been in a control person for so long, now learning how to let go, now learning how to love that person enough that if God loved you enough to give you free will, come on here, somebody, if God loved you enough to allow you to make decisions, to make choices, you know what I'm saying, then you're going to have to begin to do the same. God, give me the mind that you have, that I love her enough, or I love the person enough to allow them to have free will, oh Lord God, to make choices, oh Lord God. And then, oh Lord God, to respect them for the choices that they made. And so we've got to begin, again, you know, changing our mindset. Life after domestic violence, life after being a victim and not walking in victory. I'm reminded of a class we recently had at CCTI talking about rejection and overcoming rejection. And one of the points that he brought up was the scripture who said that we are more than overcomers. We're more than understanding that you're more than an overcomer, that God has put you in a position, a time frame, even now, for you to begin to walk in your area of being more than an overcomer. And so, again, getting past, changing your thought process, beginning to think as God would have you. Let these thoughts be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Beginning to take on a mindset of the mind of Christ and the thoughts of Christ. Again, allowing him to send you through a purification process, purifying you, and then washing you. And as I began, was just saying that, Holy Spirit reminded me of how you can, you know, go through a car wash And you know, you go through the car wash, and the first thing they do is just kind of knock some of the dust off of you, and then you keep going through the car wash, and then all of the suds is on the car. All of the suds is on the car, and it's washing you. But then you still have to go even further through a rinsing. Hallelujah, Jesus. There has to be a rinsing that even after you've gone through the wash, hallelujah, there needs to be a rinsing. Hallelujah. And so as God has purified you, as he has washed you, allow him to also to rinse, to get rid of those old thoughts, to assist you to get past those old ways, to thinking that this is your lot in life. Amen. This is domestic violence is not your lot in life. And understanding that you do not have to be a perpetrator. You do not have to walk around with a spirit of rage. Hello, somebody. That you can begin. There is a life for you as well. And so, hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. As we begin to accept that, as we begin to accept that and to get past the shaming and get past the humiliation of what the enemy is trying to tell you about you, begin to think of yourself as God would have you to think of yourself. And so we've gotten past the shame. We've gotten past the humiliation. We're looking at that. Another thing that needs to take place for a person that's coming out of domestic violence is that you have to begin to change the work that you speak of yourself. I remember teaching a class at one of our sexual relational healing retreats, and it talked about breaking casualty covenants. The weight of your words, breaking casualty covenant. You've got to begin to speak some things over yourself. Amen. You've got to begin to get to a point in your life after you, when you God is bringing you out of domestic violence or he's bringing you out of that place, you've got to begin to speak some things over your life. You can no longer come into agreement with the negative things that were said about you. You can no longer come in agreement with those. God spoke the world into existence. You're going to have to begin to speak some things in existence for yourself, whatever the case may be. If you found yourself, you're coming out of domestic violence and you're not with the perpetrator and you're really trying to change your life, change the walk of life, and you're trying to begin to speak some things in existence. Don't be satisfied where you are. You know, don't be satisfied being a person that's in hiding. Come on, somebody. If God said, let there be light, you don't need to be in the dark. Hello, somebody. So begin to speak life to yourself and begin to, you know, call some things in existence with yourself. Begin to speak, you know, that everything that God made in you, that it is good, you know, and begin to grasp a hold of that, you know. So what are you saying? What kind of words are you speaking over your life? Break those casualty covenant with the words, negative words, and begin to change what you say about yourself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When God made me, he did make a marvelous work. Begin to speak those things over yourself. I can go out and get a job. I do have the mind to complete a thing. Begin to say those things. Begin to speak them out of your mouth. And no matter what negative opposition may come against you, no matter what the outcome may be for that particular instance, you keep pressing. You keep pressing toward a mark of a higher calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. Don't let it stop you. So what? You went on a job interview and you were a little nervous or whatever the case may be, and you didn't get that job. Don't start saying, I'm just stupid. Don't start saying, I can't do nothing. Don't start saying, don't nothing bright ever happen to me. No, 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 no. Break the casualty covenant with those words. Break the covenant with the casualty of words and begin to speak life to yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so you keep going. You keep looking. You know, you're prayerful. You're asking the Holy Spirit to lead you. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Begin to allow God to order your steps. Amen. Begin to let God show you. But don't speak negative words. out of your mouth. So the first thing we're doing, we're changing our thought pattern. We're allowing God to send us through a purification process with our thoughts. We're not thinking negatively anymore. Amen. We're casting down everything that would try to exalt itself against the will of God. And the next thing we do, after we're washing our minds, we're making sure that negative things are not coming out of our mouth. And we're breaking casualty covenants because we've come to understand that our words carry weight. Our words effectuate change. Remember in the book of Mark, I want to say Mark 11:24, when he said that we can say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and those things that we say shall come to pass. And so we've got to begin to change the mindset. Change your mindset. Change what's coming out of your mouth. Amen. Change what's coming out of your mouth. Don't allow the enemy to have you speaking negative things over yourself. Learning that the power of your words, to be more aware of what you're releasing into the atmosphere. God said it, and it was. And he gave you the same power and authority. You remember when Jesus raised from the dead, he said, I raised with all power in my hand. All power in heaven and in earth is in my hand. Now, behold, I give you power. Hello? Behold, I give you power. So you have the power to effectuate change in your life. You have the power to speak some things, to call some things into existence. You can start saying, I will get a job. You can start saying, I will go back to school. You can begin to say that my children will not live in fear. Amen. You can start saying that I am a calm, cool, and a collective person. Amen. You can begin to say, I am not angry all the time. And you can begin to say that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. And so you can begin to understand and effectuate change by the words that are coming out of your mouth. Amen. So I just wanted you to begin to look at that and begin to understand that a casualty is defined as any person, any group, or anything that is harmed, destroyed as a result of some act or some event. Our words and the words of others that we let become ours can bring harm. And so let's believe and speak what God is saying. So a casualty, you are no longer a casualty. That's what I need you to begin to speak. I am no longer a casualty. I am not a person who is walking around, and I am no longer a product of something that's been harmed or something that's been destroyed. I am now more than a conqueror. I'm not a casualty. I am now more, not just a conqueror. I am now more than a conqueror through him that loved me. And so you have to begin to understand that life and death is in the power of your tongue. And begin to speak those things. Begin to take a step back. Begin to get somewhere and sit in the presence of God. And begin, again, purify my mind, God. Change my mindset. Change the way that I think. Change the places that I go. Begin to change my mindset. Don't let me live in fear. Don't let me walk on eggshells anymore, God. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to walk in boldness, God. I want to walk in boldness. I want to walk in the power of who you are in me. Amen. And so we want to break the casualty covenant. We want to understand that there is power in our words. And so we understand that just like there's power in our words, we need to begin to understand that the words that we speak, the negative words that we speak over ourselves, or watch this, the negative words that we come in agreement with, the negative words that other people have spoken over us, and we come in agreement with those negative words, they can wound us and they can hurt us. You know, my mama always said I was stupid, and she is right. I'm just, no. We don't come in agreement with that. We break that, because those words can wound us. Those words can hurt us. And not only that, the things that you say around your children, understand that you're putting a negative imprint on them that you don't want. You don't want them to walk around thinking that. You don't want them walking around saying that. So don't you say it to them, and don't say it around them. Begin to change the words and the atmosphere. Amen. Begin to change the words and the atmosphere that you are releasing in your home. And so as we begin to look at the woundedness, healing the scars, you know, even of emotional abuse, or perhaps you are a person who you've stepped out of the domestic violence and you're still finding yourself in a place where you're questioning everything that you do, you're not confident in who you are. I want you to know that the Bible says this is the confidence. Hallelujah. First Peter, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will hear us. And so you've got to begin to let that confidence, the confidence of God, be in you. Let it have free reign. Let it have free course in you so that you can begin to take your next step and your next place in God. I want you to know, whomever is listening on tonight, I want you to know that I believe in the God that is in you. I believe that in the Holy Spirit that is working in you. And I believe that you can get this thing. You can get to that next place in God. I believe that if you put your mind to it, set your sight on some things, I believe that the Holy Spirit can help you bring it to pass. Amen. So whatever it is that you desire to do, don't no longer linger in your past. You remember Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind me, I gotta press toward a mark. I need you to get a mark. What does that mean? I need you to set a goal. I need you to begin to set a goal for yourself, that I'm no longer going to wallow and linger in my past, but I'm getting ready now to get up. First of all, because I found out that I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. And second of all, I found out that I have confidence. My confidence is not in myself, because that's vain confidence. That's idol worship. My confidence is not in myself, but this is the confidence that I have in him, who? Christ Jesus. I have confidence in Christ Jesus and his finished work on the cross and his resurrecting power to give me the ability to succeed and get to my next place in him. Amen. I want you to know, I believe you can do it. You can do it. No matter what side of the spectrum you're on, I believe that you can do it. I believe that you don't have to get angry. I believe you don't have to curse people out. I believe that you don't have to be verbally abusive. First and foremost, because you have intelligence, and your vocabulary expands much further than four-letter words. I believe that the words that are coming out of your mouth can begin to change, Amen. I just had a rush hour thought. I'm sorry. I believe that you can begin to speak those words that will bring healing and not words that will tear down. I believe that. I believe if you're a person who's wrestling with verbal abuse, I believe that if you would begin to first study to be quiet and then begin to hear some of the things that's going to bring healing, that's going to bring encouragement, those are the things that if you will allow the Holy Spirit to, he can begin to speak life through you. Amen. Amen. And so, again, that's what we want to do. We want to change our mindset. We want to understand that the words that we're speaking can bring life or they can bring death, and we definitely want to begin to speak life. We want to begin to practice it, amen, on a daily basis, begin to practice it to receive healing, to receive the healing balm of God in our life. Those are the things that we desire to do. Amen. Those are the things that we desire to do. So as you're beginning to get past some things, as you're beginning to allow the Holy Spirit to get you to the next place that he will get you in your walk with him, I just want you to begin to allow him. You know, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, in James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So whatever area you're lacking wisdom, whatever area you feel like, you know what, I don't I can't do this. I've been trying. I need you to understand. Please hear me. I need you to understand that, yes, you can. If you're lacking wisdom, if you don't know how to do it, if you can't, you don't know how to get past it, begin to ask God, help me, God. Help me to be what you would have me to be. Help me to be what you would have me to be. Now, understand, please hear me. Understand that help may come in the form of, you know, again, going to some kind of group, you know, to find out about how to deal with anger. That help may look like going to, can we just talk, going to somewhere to get past the alcohol abuse or whatever it is that triggers you, drug addiction, whatever it is that's been a trigger that makes you turn into this, you know, person that nobody wants to be around. Mm-hmm. Whatever God or the Holy Spirit leads you to do, don't say no. Don't say no to the direction that God is trying to lead you to get you to a place of a healthy mind, to get you to a place of healthy emotions, to get you to a place where, you know, your family is not walking on eggshells when you come in the house. Amen. So whatever it looks like, after you ask God, you know, to give you the wisdom, to give you the wherewithal, to get past some things, whatever it looks like, wherever Holy Spirit is leading you, do it. It may look like going to Bible study. It may look like joining the men's ministry. It may look like getting some counseling and just beginning to go and talk to somebody professionally. Whatever it is, there is life after domestic violence. Again, whatever end of the spectrum you're on, there's life for you after domestic violence. God can strip you of the shame and the abuse. You know, I don't hear a lot about RICE after domestic violence. My intention was to look up some articles to see where he was. I know that there was talk at one point in time. There was talk about him. You know, they were going to reinstate him, and I don't know if that ever, you know, took place. My prayer for him is that he stayed focused. My prayer for him is that he kept his body up. My prayer for him is that he did whatever was necessary for him to attain a new goal. Perhaps that wasn't the team he was supposed to be on, but that he not fall back into a place of becoming verbally or physically abusive, but that he stayed the course. Stay the course. I'm talking to you. Stay the course. Don't let nothing knock you off kilter. Praying for James Fortune. Oops. Praying for the man of God that he'll stay the course. You know, and whatever it takes for him to get back on the saddle, whatever it takes for him to get back into a place of God, whatever it takes for him to restore, to bring his family back and restore his family, that will happen. That will happen. And so we have got to get to a thing where we are allowing God to do that. Remember that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. You know, perhaps you're feeling like, you know, you're not worthy. Again, you've got to get to a point where you begin to think of yourself and see yourself as God sees you, and begin to walk in that, and begin to walk in that. So there are some essential steps, you know, to your obtaining your victory. There are some essential steps to you getting to the next place that God will have you, and that is to begin to think of yourself as God thinks of you. Begin to walk in the admonition of God and who he has for you. Begin to look at those things. So that's what you want to do. Those are some steps you want to take. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, God. So we appreciate you, you know, joining us in the steps for recovery, recognizing that you're not powerless, recognizing that, acknowledging that God has a plan and that it includes victory. Amen. Whoever the person is, let's talk about forgiveness. Let's talk about forgiveness. Let's talk about forgiveness. Definitely understanding that one of the things that has to take place for you to get to your next place in God, you're going to have to forgive. You're going to have to forgive. And that may be hard initially. That may be hard. But you have to understand that the word of God says that if you don't forgive those who's trespassed against you, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. So you're going to have to forgive. And that may be a process. It might be a process for you. But there is a starting place. And the starting place is to, you know, God, help me to forgive whomever. For the perpetrator, you're going to have to forgive yourself. You're going to have to forgive yourself. And then you do need to ask for forgiveness from those who you have wronged. You need to ask for forgiveness and for those whom you've wronged. If it's your wife, if it was your children who looked on and saw a lot of abuse in the home, again, you want to ask for forgiveness. So as we begin to look at these things and begin to walk in these things, asking for forgiveness, again, it's precedence. You need to walk in forgiveness. Honestly sharing your feelings with God and then somebody else, begin to share your feelings. As you're beginning to get to a next place in God and you're beginning to walk in this thing the way God would have you to walk in it, walking in the mindset of freedom. Amen. Being released from that control. You just want to begin to have somebody you can bounce things off of. Now, if you're not in a position where you're ready to share a lot of things, I often say that keeping a journal is a very good idea. And so you may want to begin to journal some things down until you're at a position and at a place where you can share with somebody. Amen. So, and then just accept God's help. Accept God's help as you're beginning to this new life beyond domestic violence. Accept God's help. Accept the place, the new place that he's trying to take you to. Accept his help and allow him to get you to that new place. It's something about toxic shame. You know, when you're living in a shame that has frozen you, a shame that has paralyzed you, a shame that won't allow you to get next to that next place in God, toxic shame can destroy the function of an authentic self. It can try to destroy who you are. It can try to prohibit you from realizing actually who you are in God. Beginning, again, that goes back to purification process, allowing God to purify your mind. It goes back to making sure you get in the Word of God so that God can begin to minister to you who you really are in him. Amen. Who you really are in him. You really, really have got to begin to understand that I am not my own, but that I have been bought with a price. That God paid a price for me to have liberty. God paid a price for me to have freedom. God paid a price for me. Hallelujah. Whew. I thank him so much for the price that he paid. And now I want to walk in newness of life. Now I want to walk in a life that's free from control. I want to walk in a life that's free from fear. I want to walk in a life that's free from condemnation. Amen. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And that goes for the victor or the conqueror, the more than the conqueror. And it also goes for the person who's leaving rage and a domestic violence behavior behind. So you want to begin to understand that there is therefore now no condemnation. One thing that I've found out about people, you can speak and you can say that these things are behind you, but people will sometimes try to keep those things on the forefront. People will try to remind you and say negative things that'll try to keep that thing and understand who's behind that. That's the enemy. That's the enemy trying to put your stuff on replay so that you can't get past it. People will be people. Amen? And so you've got to begin to let them understand that that's no longer a part of my DNA. Hello? that's no longer a part of my DNA. I'm on a new course in life. I'm free from that. I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. Yes, it once was, but it isn't anymore. Amen. And I'm taking some steps to get some things together in my life. Another thing that can happen in order for you to get past domestic violence or life after domestic violence, help somebody else that's going through the same thing. Reach out to somebody else who is going through domestic violence. Offer some assistance at a shelter. Offer some assistance, you know, however you can be a help, however you can give back and assist, you know, because you've passed some things. Pull your brother or your sister up. Begin to allow them. Begin to, you know, give a testimony that, yes, you can be free from that. Volunteer. Volunteer work sometimes is the best thing, and it's therapeutic. It's therapeutic as well. So I would urge you to volunteer somewhere, you know, become a help. And give your testimony, not lingering on it, not rehashing it for the purpose of just rehashing it, but rehashing it and saying it again so that it be a help and an assistance to somebody else. Amen. So there is life after domestic violence. There is definitely life after domestic violence, and we want you to walk in the newness. Amen. We want you to walk in the newness of life. I apologize. I'm trying to get my notes and make sure I got everything that I needed to say on tonight. Philippians 3:13, which we already was talking about, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we've heard it in the little excerpt that you had for coming on to the Block Talk, you know, how people say little things, and we've got to begin to understand that we don't have to be bound. We don't have to be bound to the things or the cliches that people try to attach us to. We don't have to be bound to that. That's happening with my computer. I'm hoping you can hear. So it said that old habits, it is said, are hard to break. Old habits are hard to break. They don't have to be. They don't have to be. When you give those habits, when you give those, you know, circumstances to the Lord, they definitely don't have to be. And so we want to just share with you on tonight that you don't have to be bound to your past, that you can be free from some things, and that you can begin to look in the rearview mirror. But when we look in a rearview mirror, we don't look in a rearview mirror because we want to stay there. We just glance at a rearview mirror. That thing is always going to be a part of your life. It's always going to be a part of who you are, something that happened to you. But there is a place that you need to be focusing on, and that place that you need to be focusing on is the mirror or the glass that's ahead of you. Glance at the rearview mirror, but only glance at it at a point whereas you don't want to go back there. Only glance at it at a point that it is not overtaking you. Watch this. Only glance at it because it's now behind you. That's why it's in the rearview mirror. But I want you to look ahead. Again, press toward a mark of a high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Understand that you cannot drive, you cannot go forward if you stay in the rearview mirror. And so don't linger on it so much, or don't let it overtake your mindset so much so that you are paralyzed and you can't get to the next place. I have to keep saying there is a life. There is life after domestic violence. For you, if you were a person who found yourself in domestic violence and you're now a conqueror, for you, if you found yourself a person who was riddled in rage, who was verbally abusive, you know, there is life for you as well. God can give you a new song. He can put a song in your heart. He can begin to change the words that are coming out of your mouth. He can change that those words and let it be a praise. Amen. He can teach you how to begin to praise him, how to walk in the newness of who he desires for you to be. And so on tonight's episode, as you turn from a life after domestic violence, from a victim to a victor, and then going even further to being victorious. So you're walking from victim to victor to victorious. God desires that you live a life victorious. He desires that your life be a life victorious. Amen. And so we just want you to begin to understand who you are and begin to walk in the newness of what God has called you. Hallelujah. So we just want to thank you so much for joining us tonight or with tonight's episode, Life After Domestic Violence. We do so appreciate your calling in and listening to us on tonight. Amen. And we want to end this in prayer. We want to end this segment in prayer. We'd also just like to encourage you to like us on Facebook. We'd like to encourage you, if you have any questions, any comments, any prayer requests, to please make those known on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, we'd like for you to send us an email. You can email us at healing@HopeAllianceInc.com. You can email us at healing@HopeAllianceInc.com. Email us whatever it is you need to share with us. We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear from you. If there is a subject matter or a topic that you want us to address, if there is a question specifically that you would like for us to address, please send those questions in either via Facebook or you can send them and just email them to us. We would love to be able to assist you in your endeavor. We just want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. We want to hear that this is a help to me, that you are being a help to me. Or when we do put this segment, it will be placed for Hope Alliance on Facebook. It will be put on that page. We love for you to be able to share that with whomever. If you want to forward it to somebody on Facebook, listen to this. I think it'll be a help for you. You're welcome to do that as well. Amen. We just trying to get the word out. We're trying to let the people of God know that they no longer have to have a silent cry in the pew, in the church. We want the people of God to understand and know that we can live a life victoriously. We can live a life of victory. And so we would love it if you would just, again, look us up on Facebook, like our page on Facebook. Again, we would love it if you would just give us some comments, questions, if you want us to answer a question. And then also, we would like to make it known that if you need us to come in to your church, to your youth group, or anything, and do some sort of conference, we would love to come in and speak to your youth segment at your church and things of that nature. We're here to help to better the people of God. We're here to strengthen the people of God. So we would love it if you would do that for us. We would so, so appreciate it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's end in prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, O Lord God. We thank you for those, O God, who are called in, O Lord God. We thank you for those who may be listening to us, O Lord God, via Facebook or however they found their way here, God. We know that they found their way here, God, because it's been ordained by you, O Lord God. So we thank you, O Lord God. We thank you even now, O Lord God, for those who are trying to have a life after domestic violence. We thank you for those who are trying to get past some things, O Lord God. We thank you for those, O Lord God, who may have been a perpetrator, O Lord God, and they're trying to get past dealing with anger, trying to get past dealing with rage, trying to get past dealing with some verbal abuse, O Lord God. We pray now, God, in the name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will let them know that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them, God. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them, oh God. So we just thank you, oh Lord God, for Christ. We thank you for the finished work on the cross, oh Lord God. We thank you, oh Lord God. Your word says that the steps of a good man, a good woman are ordered by you, oh Lord God. So we thank you, oh God, for ordering their steps, oh God. We pray for those who are listening, oh Lord God, who may be trying to reestablish themselves, oh God, in the workforce, oh Lord God. We pray now for jobs. We pray now for that person, God, who's been considering going back to school, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, that every opportunity will come, oh Lord God, that doors will be opened, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. We lift them up before you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Have your way in their life, oh Lord God. We thank you, oh Lord God, for Jeremiah 29:11, God, that you know the thoughts that you think towards us, oh God, and that they're thoughts of good and not of evil to bring them to a perfected end, oh God. We thank you for bringing them to a perfected end, bringing them to a mature end, oh Lord God, bringing them to the place that you would have them to be, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we bless you, oh Lord God. We pray for those, God, who are seeking employment, God, that may need child care assistance, oh Lord God, or whatever it is that they need, whatever obstacle is trying to get in their way to try to prohibit them from getting to the next purpose in you, God. We bind it now in Jesus' name, God. We speak that no weapon formed against them will prosper, that every word, tongue that rises against them will be condemned, God. We speak it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Have your way in their lives, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise them up, God, to a new place in you, oh God. Raise them up to the status of victor, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Raise them up, God, to the status of living a victorious life, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak that they are above and not beneath, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We speak that the Lord is their shepherd and they shall not want, oh Lord God. We speak it now in the name of Jesus Christ. So God, we thank you, we bless you, and we honor you on tonight, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we sing hallelujah to the Most High. We sing it now in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that it is so. And so it is in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, we thank you so much for joining us on tonight. We look forward to you sharing with us again on next Thursday. Spread the word, spread the word, spread the word that Breaking the Silence with Hope Alliance, Inc. is on Blog Talk Radio, and we look forward to you joining us and being a part of our listening audience. Until next week, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.